Episode 2. For those of you who were here last Sunday, you know that I began a 5-part mini-series on the Most Holy Eucharist. For 5 Sundays in a row, we are reading chapter 6 of St. John's Gospel, known as the Bread of Life Discourse. These readings about Jesus as the Bread of Life provide us with an excellent opportunity to talk about different aspects of receiving our Lord in Holy Communion. You might remember that last Sunday in episode 1, we reviewed our Catholic belief about who we receive in Holy Communion. And we were reminded that we do not receive a symbol or a sign of the body of Christ. We do not eat a piece of bread or drink wine. And the body of Jesus is not hidden within the bread, nor is his precious blood mingled with the wine. We believe that the bread and wine substantially and permanently change into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. So who we receive in Holy Communion is really and truly Jesus. Last week we were also challenged to talk and to sing and to act in harmony with that belief, because if we don't act like we believe, pretty soon we'll believe how we act. Now, the theme for this second episode in our Bread of Life mini-series is preparing to receive Holy Communion. If what we receive in Holy Communion is not a what at all, it's not a what, it's not a thing, it's a person, a divine person, then we should prepare to receive him even more than we would prepare to receive any human person as a guest into our home. As human persons, we have both a body and a soul. So we should prepare to receive Jesus in our whole person, in our bodies and in our souls. First, we prepare our souls. And we prepare our souls by cleansing them from sin. In Holy Communion, we're going to be intimately united with Jesus. His flesh and our flesh are going to become one. But Jesus is perfect. He's free from sin. He can't dwell in a place that's filthy. So we have to try, by God's grace, to become like our Blessed Mother, free from sin, so as to receive Jesus perfectly as a living tabernacle. Therefore, the Catechism of the Catholic Church rightly teaches that anyone conscious of a mortal sin must receive the sacrament of penance before coming to communion. Not surprisingly, this teaching is not only in the Catechism, it's also in the Bible. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, "Whoever eats and drinks the body and blood of our Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of our Lord." So, just for example, if you've killed a child, or if you've helped somebody to kill a child before they were born, if you're living with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, if you haven't been married by a Catholic priest or deacon, if you've left the Catholic Church and joined another Christian denomination, if you've deliberately, intentionally missed Sunday Mass, or you haven't been to Mass since Jesus was a small boy, if you are conscious of any mortal sin, and there's many others that I could list, right? If you're conscious of any mortal sin, you must first go to confession before receiving our Lord in Holy Communion. So the principle is first confession, then communion. In my previous assignment, before I came here to St. Felix and St. Agnes, I had the privilege of offering a Spanish Mass every single Sunday morning. And we had about 100 to 150 people, I would say, at our weekly Sunday Spanish Mass. And then it got for the time for communion, and I would say maybe only 20 people went to communion. And I was inspired by our Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters. They give good witness to us. They know for whatever reason they shouldn't be receiving Holy Communion, but they're still in church every Sunday. First confession, then communion. Let's say I offend you. I intentionally throw a rock through your window, or I intentionally egg your house. Should I just show up at your house for supper and sit down to eat and pretend like nothing's happened? No, of course not. I should go and apologize first. Before I enjoy a meal with you, I have to reconcile with you. We need to apologize and reconcile with the Lord before we become one with him in Holy Communion. Fortunately, thanks be to God, we have confessions every Saturday afternoon before the Saturday afternoon Mass, and then every Sunday morning before the early Mass. First confession, then communion. Now, we also prepare our souls to receive Holy Communion by prayer and meditation. We try to arrive early to Mass, to talk to Jesus, truly present in the tabernacle, to read the scripture readings before Mass, and most of all, to have some time for silence and quiet to listen to Jesus. Pope Francis likes to quote often the Italian spiritual master Romano Guardini. You may have heard of him before, Romano Guardini. And he says what I'm trying to say even more beautifully. This is what he writes. Above all, we must get to church early to tidy up inwardly. The first thing to do is to quiet and collect ourselves. We must be able to say honestly, now I'm here and I have only one thing to do, to participate with my whole being in the only thing that counts, the sacred celebration. Okay, that's preparing our souls. Now we need to prepare our bodies. We're not angels. We have a soul like an angel, but unlike angels, we also have a body, so we have to prepare our bodies too. And the first way we prepare our bodies is by fasting. Catholics are required to fast from all food and drink for at least 1 hour before receiving Holy Communion. None of you are even old enough to remember that we used to fast from midnight until the reception of Holy Communion. Some of you are just barely old enough to remember that after that we had to fast for 3 hours before receiving Holy Communion. And now it's just an hour. That's easy, right? That's a piece of cake. And there's two exceptions to the rule, too. You can drink water and medicine anytime you want before Holy Communion. But oftentimes I'm shocked to see at diocesan conferences people drinking their coffee and eating a donut right before Mass starts. Sometimes I'm shocked to see the bridal party at a wedding drinking their latte and eating a ham sandwich right before the beginning of the sacred mysteries. Fasting for at least 1 hour is so important. Our fasting helps us make room for our Lord in our bodies. And the physical hunger we experience, the litany of the stomach growls at morning Mass, reminds us of a deeper spiritual hunger we have for Jesus. And by the way, this fasting includes fasting from chewing gum. Of course, you know nobody should be chewing gum in church. We prepare our bodies next by washing our hands. You remember when your mom said, "Okay, kids, wash your hands and then we'll eat." Well, we've already washed our souls in confession, but we still have to wash our bodies, and especially those hands, if we're going to touch the Lord's sacred body and blood. How often do I see when a person comes up for Holy Communion, "Call Penelope, 555-1234. How often I see milk, bread, eggs, cheese. Remember, if you forget, you can always receive Holy Communion on the tongue. And finally, we prepare our bodies by dressing appropriately. The Catechism of the Catholic Church has a beautiful little paragraph on this in paragraph 1387. It says, "To prepare for a worthy reception of Holy Communion, clothing ought to convey the respect, the solemnity, and the joy of this moment when Christ becomes our guest." Isn't that beautiful? Clothing. Why is clothing so important? Well, because our bodies are holy. They're temples of the Holy Spirit, and we should dress modestly. I always say God will bless modesty in dress. Because the Bible says so in Psalm 29, verse 2, adore the Lord in holy attire. Because Jesus says we should come to the wedding feast wearing an appropriate wedding garment. What we wear reminds us what we're doing. We got to act like we believe. We're not coming up in a buffet line to receive a small piece of bread. We're coming up to eat the body and blood of Jesus. So rather than thinking we're in the cafeteria line at school shuffling up for some food, may I suggest that when you come up for Holy Communion, you think that you're processing up the aisle to your wedding, where you will become one with your beloved. Does the bride ever show up to her wedding wearing a tank top, short shorts, and flip-flops? Of course not. Why? Because she wants to look spectacular for her beloved. And so, too, we want to look our best for our beloved Jesus, the divine bridegroom, who gives himself so completely to us. So, how do we worthily prepare our souls and bodies for Holy Communion? We prepare our souls by going to confession and by coming to church early for quiet prayer and meditation. We prepare our bodies by fasting from all food and drink for at least 1 hour, by washing our hands and spitting out our gum, and by dressing appropriately to meet our bridegroom. Careful preparation of our souls and bodies to receive Holy Communion is for one purpose, one reason. We're preparing to receive the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Worthily eat his flesh and drink his blood that you may have life.